Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. So we don't have our screen this morning because Brother John is camping with the family and he has the computer. So we don't have the screen. So I tell you, bring your Bible. You should have your Bibles and your notepads every Sunday. Amen? And I thank God for our musicians. And Brother Charles, he came to me and said, man, I hate to leave, you know, but so he has to get over to the other church. And I told him it's not a problem because they stay all the time. I've been at churches where the musicians play and leave all the time. It's like, wow, what kind of foolishness is that? This is not a gig. You know, this is not a gig. This is like worship time. So, but he did share with me. So for you all that are visiting, our musicians, they don't play and leave. He has to get over to his next church because that's where the missions team is meeting and they're getting ready to send him out. Amen?
Amen.
And then also, I just wanted to add, you know, keep her family in your prayers. I shared with them Wednesday night. My uncle's not doing too well in Virginia. So the family, they left Thursday to go out to Virginia. And then I'm leaving tonight. And then we'll be back Thursday. So that's why, Kathy, I couldn't answer the question if I'll be here. I won't be here Wednesday for Bible study. But you all will be here, those that come. Amen. I know. Anyway, I asked Brother John to lead the Wednesday night Bible study. So for those of you that come, Brother John should be leading it. Amen?
Amen.
Did I say, I'm kind of loud this morning, Brother Ivy. Am I too loud? I'm trying to bring it down some. Okay, that sounds better, I think. Did I say Romans 12 and 9?
Yeah.
And I'll read that one verse. It says, let love be without dissimulation, or let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, stay away from that which is evil, and cling, hold on to that which is good. Amen? So we've gone through the first 8 chapters of the book of chapter 12 in Romans. So we're talking about renewing our mind. We're talking about, are we going to be the new man or the old man? So we know that somebody dominated your week last week. The new or the old dominated. I don't know which one, only you and God know that. But the only way that we can allow the new man, which is through the Holy Spirit of God, to dominate is by the renewing of our mind. So then, And it's always in the context of spiritual warfare. Family, remember, every situation that you encounter is a spiritual situation, and either you're going to glorify God or you'll be used by the devil in that situation. So now we get to this topic of love. Paul is telling the Romans, let love be without hypocrisy. He said, don't pat me on the back with one hand and then stab me in the back with the other hand. He said, let your love be without hypocrisy. He said, don't pray with me regarding my personal issues and then get on the phone and talk about me to everybody else. He said, let your love be without hypocrisy. He said, you know, when we were growing up, we called somebody a two-face. Paul is saying, don't let your love be two-faced, where you act one way with me and then talk about me when I'm not there. So we understand that love is a verb. So here we are, verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation being hypocrisy. All right, so here, for you note takers, here we are. Let's talk about love so we make sure we understand what we are really talking about. There are 4 types of love. Amen? So for those of you that are taking notes, okay, the first type of love is agape, which is the unconditional love. All right? Agape. So what does agape mean? That you can love me the most when I deserve it the least. That's agape. Let me say that for my husbands and wives. Amen? Wives, it means that you can love your husband the most when he deserves it the least. Agape means, husbands, that you can love your wife the most when she deserves it the least. That's the unconditional love. That's the love that God has for us. God can love us the most. Somebody say amen when we deserve it the least. And I think back on your week and somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's agape. The next type of love is phileo love, which is the friendship love. All right, that's where we get the city Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. So he said, let your love be without dissimulation. So he's talking about unconditional love. Then he's talking about friendship love. Then he talks about stergos love. And that's the love that a parent has for a kid. Amen? That's stergos. So I love my kids, but there's the stergos love. I don't love my kids the same as I love my wife. Right? And something's wrong with that. We're not going to go there right now, but it talks about it in Leviticus 18. Amen? But I do love my kids. And then the next comes the eros love, which is a romantic love. Amen? So there's the four types of love. He says, let whatever your love is, let it be without dissimulation. Don't let it be with hypocrisy. So then you look at it. As I'm studying this, God shows me that it's only one relationship where that love, where all four of those loves can be executed in a sanctified, holy, and righteous manner. And that's in the context of marriage. All right? That's why the enemy hates marriage. Because a marriage that's living for God and showing love the way that God wants it to be is a reflection of God. So here it is. So for the unconditional love, amen. Somebody who's married say amen. You need unconditional love in a marriage. Amen?
Amen.
And then I tell you this, it really helps if you have phileo love, if you actually like the person that you're married to, if you're actually friends with them. And then you have the eros love, the romantic love, which leads to kids, which is the stergos love. Amen? So and now, if you're outside of that and you're having kids without being married, then we kind of call that sin.
Amen.
Is it still on Ivy? So that's what we call sin. I mean, it's just saying that God has an order to everything that he does. And it amazes me how people get out of order, get their life jacked up, live raggedy, and then have the nerve to be upset with God. It's not God's fault, family. That's us not lining up. But remember, we are in a system that tells you, do what you want to do. Everybody else is doing it. Do me. Everybody wants a selfie because it's about self. It's not about God. Let's take a selfie. But then there's a way that God says, do it. And he's talking about love. Oh, somebody, I hope somebody got that. It's four types of love. And then look at it when we compare the grace of God. See, the grace of God is what gets us saved and allows us to do everything that we do. All right? So God, the grace of God saves us, but God loves us too much to allow us to stay as we are. The grace will save you, but the love will not allow you to stay the way that you are. And I thank God for that. And God's love is not an excuse to live any kind of way. You know, somebody, well, God loves everybody. Don't get it all mixed up. Don't. God loves you too much to leave you like you are.
Amen.
It's not an excuse for me to live raggedy because God loves me. Well, God is love. Yes, he is. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But God is also holy and he's righteous and he's sanctified. Just don't try and say he's love. He is, but put the whole picture there. and live your life accordingly. You cannot just use the scriptures that's convenient for you and the type of life you want to live and say, well, I'm not as bad as everybody else. Well, God's not comparing you to everybody else. He's comparing you to himself. That's your example. Okay, so then we understand that love is an action. Love is a verb. And so it's two things I want to show this morning. I want to show how love should be, how it should be displayed in our relationships to each other, and then how it should be displayed in our relationship to God. So if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. You're going to recognize this because it's stated at the at many weddings and marriages. And if you, when you're there, say amen. You hear this all the time at the weddings, but I don't know if they really understand what it means. I don't think they really care what it means. Because when you talk about love, it's unconditional. And if you take a vow with someone, that's why it tells you don't enter into this lightly or without reverence to God. Because you're going to have to deal with some things and you need love to get yourself through it. So First Corinthians 13:1. This is Paul talking. He's talking about spiritual gifts, and we've talked about the gifts, so we're going to allude to those as well. Paul says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, listen to that, he speaks with tongues of men and angels, and have not charity. That word charity is love. When you look up charity, it's the unconditional love. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels and have not love, when I can't love people the most when they need it the least, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm just making a lot of noise, is what he's saying. Look at verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy. Ooh, you can prophesy and prophesy all day. And you understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not love, and I can't love people the most when they need it to the least, I am nothing. I don't care what you have. If you don't have love, when you can't love people the most when they need it the least, God said, you can have anything you want. You don't have nothing. If you're talking about living for God, here we are, we're talking about the new man and the old man. We're talking about doing battle in spiritual warfare. You have to have love. I don't care all you get up and dance and spit and scream and shout and lay hands and people fall out. And see, this is what God is really saying. See, because love removes all the hidden agenda and ulterior motives. See, so you can use your spiritual gift the right way because you actually love the people who you're ministering to. So you can do all that stuff, but you don't even really care about people. God said, you ain't doing nothing. In other people's eyes, you got it going on, and you this and you that. But God says, as far as me, it don't even count. Because I see your heart. And it's nothing there that's trying to glorify me. You doing it for self. God said, you ain't got nothing. Look at verse 3. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, you're a philanthropist, right? Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Now, you got to be ridiculous. Somebody say amen. And I looked that up, and it means that you literally give your body to be burned for somebody. But you just doing it for a show so they can say, man, that was a good dude. That was an awesome lady. She's on every TV channel giving money away. She is something else. I want to be just like her. God said, are you kidding me? Look what he says. Verse 3 again. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and can't love people the most when they need it the least, it gives me no advantage with God, and I am nothing. I looked up nothing, too, to make sure I wasn't taking nothing out of context. Let me see what nothing means. Oh, here it is. It means nothing. It says, no one, nothing. It gives you no advantage with God. All right, that's exactly what it means. So then let's, in the Psalms, it talks about Selah, which means to think. So let's just take a Selah break and just think. Everything you did this week, was it with the right intentions, the right motives? Did you do it with love or did you do it with lust? Because lust, it gets and it uses and abuses and confuses. Love gives. So just take a break and think about your interactions with your wife, with your kids, with your employees, with your boss, with your business owners. Think about it. With your church. Somebody say amen. Amen. What were the motives behind it? Was it out of love because you love God's people and you want to make disciples and you want to build the kingdom of God? Just think about it. Just for 30 seconds, we'll take a break and then we'll continue. Think about everything you did this week. What was the motive behind it? Okay, time's up. God is saying, don't waste your time and don't waste your life doing things that don't even count. Because you don't have the right motives, the right intentions. God is saying, life is too short and too precious to do things that don't even count. Wow, God. Wow. See, love is the attribute of God that enables us to receive and use his gifts without corruption. That allows you to serve people, serve your family, serve your spouse without corruption. Oh, boy. And trust me, I didn't plan on speaking on love this morning, but when I was studying, I had my notes already going through Romans, and God stopped me at love. So somebody, we need to start loving the right way. We need to understand that either we're doing it for God with the right intentions or we need to just get out of the game. Okay, so look at verse 4. So let's break it down to the action items, how love should look, what love does do and what it doesn't do. And then you compare it to yourself. Am I operating with the new man that's filled with the Holy Spirit as I interact with others, or is the old man just dominating my life? And I'm living a defeated Christian life and trying to figure out why. And the only way we can operate in love is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Because in and of ourselves, we tried it. It just don't work. It don't come out right. I don't say the right things. I don't do the right things when I step up. Verse 4, love suffereth long. So when I looked up the word suffer, it means to persevere patiently and bravely in enduring misfortunes and trouble. So you just don't persevere, but you persevere patiently and bravely. I think the key words are through misfortunes and troubles. Here's the other kicker. It says to be patient in bearing the offenses when someone offends you and injures you. You patient. You, it's all right. No. It's all right. It's okay. We're going to get through. I'm not going to lash out. I'm not going to cuss you out. I'm not going to take a swing at you. Because of the love of God, I suffer long. I have a little bit extra through the Holy Spirit to kind of process this where I can respond and not react. Because the old man wants to react, but the new man says I need to respond with love and with thought. I need to think about it. So sometimes it's necessary that I have to suffer well. Sometimes because of love, I have to suffer well, even when I've been injured or offended. Wow, that's just the first one. And that's why, as I've done many weddings, and people get up and share this scripture right here, I'm trying to ask them, do you really understand what that means? And then, okay, love suffers long and love is kind. Huh. Love does not envy. Love is not arrogant. Love is not taking a selfie every 5 minutes. Amen. It doesn't brag on itself. And love is not puffed up. So that's the bragging and the arrogance right there. Verse 5, love does not behave itself unseemly or rudely. Now we could stop right there and talk about being rude. Love does not seek her own, is not easily provoked, does not fly off the handle at the drop of a dime. Amen? And then it thinks no evil. Love does not keep account. Love does not keep a record of evil. Somebody married, say amen. Because you know that conversation can get to... Now, you remember the other week and then last month. And I remember 2 years ago, you did the same thing. Really? Love does not do that. Imagine if God did that with us. If God kept record of... Let me talk to you about what you did 10 years ago. God, no, we don't want to talk about that. God, you don't want to talk about that. Then. Well, how about we talk about what you did 5 years ago? Okay, let's keep it simple, God. Well, let's talk about what you did last night. Oh, God, we ain't got to talk about that either, do we? It's just the whole grace thing. We talked about grace. Give people some grace. You need it. You don't want God to bring up your stuff. Why are you bringing up their stuff? Operate in love. We could go back and forth all day, but what is that benefiting? Who is that glorifying? The old man and Satan. That's all it's doing. It's not godly. Verse 6. Does not rejoice in iniquity. So love is not happy about sin. It's not rejoicing in sin. And that word rejoice, it meant to, the first rejoice, it meant to be glad and cheerful. It's cheerful in sin. It's not glad, it's not cheerful about lying and stealing and cheating and sleeping around. And man, I got these honeys on the side. Man, you should see this new babe. I've been getting with her. I got this guy, this sugar daddy. He calls me up. He takes me out and then we just do a little bit, but I'm cool. God understands. No. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It's not cool with any type of sin. It's not happy about any type of sin. And check out this text message I got. Check out, ooh, man, look at this picture I got on my phone. And check out, hey, man, you just need to see this video. Just watch it for 30 seconds and... God is saying sin is not cute. Love says sin is not cute. Doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be going this hard. Pastor, lighten up. Okay, I'm trying. Y'all know. Pastor goes, y'all pray for y'all, Pastor, because I go hard. That means I got to live hard. I got to live right. Amen. If you're going to bring the truth, you got to live the truth, right? The word says if you preach the gospel, you have to live of the gospel. Don't have any skeletons in the closet, no unconfessed sin, no family around the other side of town. I'm not trying to do any of that. Thank God for the board I have. The board holds me accountable. I'm not trying to take the money. I'm not trying to do all that kind. I don't want to do all that kind of stuff. Could have stayed in the world and did that kind of stuff. It's not cute. It's not sexy. It's not funny. Sin is not. You know what they say? It takes you farther than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it's going to cost you more than you're willing to pay. It's just not fun. I was listening to Chuck Swindoll. He said every time when he thinks about sin, he rehearses the consequences. how many different ways it can go wrong. And they say, you know what? I'm cool. I'm cool. When the secretary asks you to go out for lunch, you go, I'm cool. Because you know, you already know it's a setup. When the boss asks you, hey, let's go talk. No, but let's do it on the weekends and just, you already know, no, we're not taking no trips nowhere. Because you rehearse the consequences, you go, oh, we'll probably really just talk this time. This time, we probably really gonna talk. So I'll just go to talk. Now, it's not cute. It's not cute at all. All right, here we go. Pastor, lighten up. Okay, I'm gonna try. Here we go, verse 6. Rejoice is not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. So we know that Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. So love rejoices in Christ, in everything that Christ stands for, in the word, in the truth. And then here we go in verse 7. It bears all things. The beareth means it covers with silence. Sometimes love just tells you to be quiet. Husband said, amen. How do y'all think love wants you to be quiet right now? You got that, huh, Sister Tar? Honey, I think love is saying you need to bear this right now, to cover with silence. Sometimes love just says, it's the argument's not even worth it. Love just says, you're right, honey. I tripped out. I messed up. I'll do better. Okay. I didn't know that, you know, you would save that money for something else. I went out and bought me a nice suit. I didn't know that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Right. Calloway knows that love says, I'm sorry. It was my fault. It won't happen again. Look what I bought you. That's it. You know, that's sometimes love is just, you're right, Calloway. That's how we stay married. And that's, it bears all things. It covers with silence. It believes all things. And believe, it says, to trust in Jesus as able to aid either in obtaining or in doing something. So you believe that God is going to always come through. Love believes in God. It believes that God is going to come through. It hopes in, hopes all things. And then the word endureth, to preserve. So not to persevere this time, but endure says that you preserve. And when something is preserved, it keeps it together. It keeps it fresh. So love allows you to stay fresh when everything else is falling apart. Endure says to stay fresh, to preserve under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ, to bear bravely and calmly even ill treatments. Wow. Verse 8, love never fails. Looked up never. Never says not even at any time, never at all, neither at any time, never, nothing at any time. Love never fails. So why is it that love doesn't fail? Look at 1 John. Turn quickly to 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Because God is love. It's his character, God is love. We know another attribute of God's character is that God is holy. We know that God is love. Some people just want to say, well, God is love. God loves me the way that I am. No. The grace accepts you as you are, but God loves you too much to leave you like that. And then the holiness of God convicts you that you need the change to look more like God. So don't just take the love without the sanctification and the holiness. And don't just take the grace without the love. Because the grace comes and then the love tells you, I love you too much to let you stay like this, because eventually you will self-destruct. Did I say 1 John 4, 7 and 8? It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So make sure you understand, God is love. That's why love never fails, because there's three things God can't do. God can't lie, he can't fail, and God cannot sin. So he said, well, God, I thought God can do everything. Oh, there's a few things God can't do. God can't lie. He can't fail. That's why love never fails, because it's God. I remember with Pastor and Queen Esther, we were at Maranatha Community Church. And has anybody ever sang this as a song before? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Yeah, you guys got to learn that. That's it. We would sing that song all the time back at Maranatha Community Church. And we would have to live that and practice that. Couldn't just be a song. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians. That's why love never fails. Because God is love. You can't say that you love God and you can't love your brother and sister who you see every day. God said, no, don't stop it. You can't say that you love God and you don't even love your spouse who you live with. See, you got to understand, husbands and wives, that God just allows us to practice love every day. That's all being married is. The opportunity to give and to forgive and to love and to have compassion and to sacrifice and to be quiet and to serve and to help. We just have the opportunity to practice it every day. That's why most folks can't do it. Because when you get selfish, you're tired of loving. You can't be in your marriage taking selfies all day. You can take a group photo. Not a selfie. That's all to it. And so everybody wants to get married, but then nobody wants to stay married. It trips me out. Because once you step into that, it's not about me anymore, it's about God. And you got to be willing to serve, you got to be willing to believe all things, bear all things, suffer long. You have to be able to believe all things, beareth all things, endureth all things, and suffer long. Sister Sandra Roy said she and her husband just celebrated 46 years of being married. And you tell me it wasn't some suffering and some believing and some bearing. Anybody could use the trap door and get out. I'm just saying, folks, this is love. This is God. And I told you all, it's the toughest thing to do is to live right. I remember when going to the jails, I'm doing prison ministry, and guys are trying to say, oh, man, if you're scared, go to church. I'm like, dude, let me talk to all y'all. Let me see you try and live for God one day. And everything your flesh tell you to do, you say, no, I'm not going to do it. Don't play me. I understand what it is to be a true Christian man. Now, I have a whole lesson I talked to them about the difference between being tough and having courage, and they can't handle it. They can't handle it. That's why God uses real men to go in there and talk to real men who think they're real men. Now, I know you guys, I tell them, I know all you guys are tough guys, but who has courage? It's the courage to get out of this place and do right and live right and take care of your family and stop making babies, baby mamas, and get you a wife. Anybody, I could hit anybody over the head and take something, but don't have enough courage to get me a job and get up every day and get into a routine and make $8.50 an hour and save that and manage my money right and eventually buy me a house and do what I need to do. Now, that's being courageous. That's living for God and going to church and serving and giving back and helping the homeless. Don't let anybody lie to you. This is the toughest thing you're going to have to do, is live right in a wrong world. Swim upstream when everybody else is going downstream, looking at you like you're crazy, like something's wrong with you, because you just don't tolerate anything, because you're salt and light and you have standards. And then we have to be the heavy and the tough guys all the time in our, with our kids, when our kids say, but everybody else is doing it. You say, no, that's everybody else. That's not us. And you have to sit in that seat with your kids, as opposed to just saying, hey, here's an iPad, go in your room and play. No, we want to raise our kids with love, with standards. And nobody else wants to. And our kids go out to play with those kids. Why can't I have a phone in the fourth grade? You have nobody to call in the fourth grade. Everybody you need to call lives with you. Okay? That's why. Just walk and come to my room if you need to talk to me. What kind of foolishness is that? But everybody else in the room has a phone. verse 8. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues. See, now he's getting into the gifts. And we talked about the gifts, I believe it was last week or the week before. So if you weren't here, go on our website and the message is up. So check it out. So we talked about gifts, and Paul is saying it again. You guys are all caught up in the gifts, but the gifts are going to fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Then he says, look, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. See, we can only see part of the picture right now. All right. And then he kind of gives us a glimpse of heaven. He says, but when you get to heaven, you will be able to see everything clearly. But right now, we just see in part. There's some things we don't know, some mysteries of God we just don't know. We just see in part. All right? And you can't see it all right now. You just see in part. But just know that love never fails, and all these other things are going to cease and vanish away. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, so when God has come, when we get to heaven, then that which is in part shall be done away. We're going to know it all. We'll get there. We'll see it all. Like, wow. So this is what real love looks like. This is what true love looks like. This is what holiness looks like. Wow. And then one of the most powerful scriptures for us, either we're going to be the new or the old, is verse 11. Underline this, put a star by it, highlight it wherever you do. Verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Somebody say amen. Look at that. You, right now, you still shouldn't be speaking and understanding and thinking like a child. Somebody say amen, unless you are a child. But when I became a man, when I became a woman, I put away childish things. Somebody underline it. Somebody needs to put away childish things. That's played out, as we used to say in the old days. What you're doing now is played out. You still shouldn't be thinking and speaking and acting like you did when you were a kid. Either you're going to be the new or the old. We're in the midst of spiritual warfare and we're still acting like a kid. And then we wonder why things are going wrong, because we haven't grown up. We haven't allowed the Word of God to grow in us. It's the difference between coming to church and then the Word of God and church being in you. It's a big difference. And for too long, we've just come to church and we haven't taught how to grow up in God. And so we have saints who've been saved 20, 30 years, but they're still speaking and acting and thinking like a child. They haven't put away the childish things. They're not living in love. They're still doing things that they think are cute and gossiping and all this other kind of stuff. They haven't grown up. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly. So we still just seeing part of it. But then face to face, when we see God face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. So I'm going to see God face to face. At some point, you and I, we're going to see God face to face, and we're going to know everything, and God's going to look at us, and he's going to say, and I know you too. Oh, God, wow. Oh, yeah, that's right, because I know you. It's going to be known, and you're going to be known. And then Paul ties it up in a nice, neat little bow. He says, and now abideth these, and they're all awesome. Faith and hope, don't get me wrong, you already know. We've talked about faith for at least 2 months. We talked about the heroes of faith. So you know how awesome faith is. You know how awesome hope is. The worst thing they say is you can run into someone with no hope. That's a bad day. I don't want to run into anybody like that. Oh, that's dangerous. When you lose hope, that's a dangerous time in your life. You need hope. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is love. When you can love someone the most when they deserve it the least. And that's how the first half, we talked about relationships. Our love relationships with each other. And as the time has it, next week I was going to talk about our love relationship to God. So God's taught us how we should live towards each other. But what about our love to God? How do we know when we're loving God? And that's what we'll talk about next week. Amen. So let us pray as we dismiss. We prepare to dismiss, and the other church prepares to come in here as it's close to the 11 o'clock hour. But just have another Selah moment. Just think. God says we don't judge each other. We examine ourselves. So even as I'm studying, I'm examining myself. As I'm preparing to say, God, this is a message that you called me to deliver this morning. Am I even operating in these things? Am I practicing what I'm preaching? And it's one thing, and yes, we all fall short. That's why we need Christ. But family, what you practice is what you get good at. What you practice, just like the sport, some of us who played sports, the more I practiced, the better I got. So God's calling us to practice love. Loving our friends, loving our family. Love them the most when they deserve it the least. Maybe you're here and you don't even have a relationship to Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I love the word, but I need to love God. I want to learn how to love God. And right now, I don't even have a relationship to God. And God's touched my heart this morning. I know, first off, I need to get right with Jesus Christ. If that's you and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you on this morning. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, just through the word, I know I got to get my life right. We're 8 months into the new year, and I'm still thinking and speaking and acting like a child. I haven't made any of the adjustments I said I was going to do in 2014. And now 2014... we're actually closer to 2015. And say, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life going into this last quarter of the year. What a great time. Number 8, new beginnings. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life this morning. Go ahead and elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you and pray for you. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home, and you say, Pastor, I've just been looking for a place like this where people love God and people are serious about God. There's no games, there's no tricks and no gimmicks. It's just the word of God. So all we have to offer you, the love of God, the word of God, how to grow with God. We want to make you a disciple so we can build the kingdom of God. And we go out and touch the world like our brother Charles is going out to touch the world. And we don't have to go to Vietnam. We go right in our own backyard. God wants you to go right on your job. Right in your own family. Yeah, you might have to bear some things. You might have to just be silent and be a light and be an example, but that's okay. But if you're looking for a church home, we'd love to partner with you. Love to walk on you with this journey together. That's what we're here for, and you need a church home if you don't have one. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, we thank you for today, and I'll just say it again. If you desire to be saved this morning, I don't save you. I just lead you to the one who can. The Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just guide you and allow you to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. So if you need to be saved, elevate your hand. Or you want to rededicate your life, elevate your hand. If you're looking for church membership, elevate your hand. I ask you to come on up. We thank God for we thank God for rededication and membership. And it starts with a T, right?
Yes.
See, I'm getting better. I'm not going to try and attempt it.
Okay.
But we have Talia coming up for membership. And we thank God for you, Talia. That God put on your heart to join us.
Yeah.
And I've seen you for months back there. And I thank God for you coming and touching your heart, and we want to be your church family. And we're even honored to be your church family, that you would select us with all the choices in the area that you could have selected, that God would put on your heart to be here. So we thank God for you. And then for our sister Brandy, she's coming up for rededication, just to get guidance and direction from God. God, show her, show us. I'm going to ask some of my ladies to come up, if you would, and just surround them. Just to let you know that, Talia, that's it, right?
Talia
and Brandy, just as we surround you now, it's your family.
Yes.
We're all on this journey together. No, none of us have it all together. We wouldn't even want to front like that. Mm-hmm. But we're journeying together.
Thank you, Lord.
And we're a family. And just like we surround you now, we cover you always in prayer. And any way that we can assist you, we will. So thank you so much, Lord, for these two. Thank you for Brandy as she's rededicating. Lord, give her guidance. Give her wisdom. Show her, Lord. She journeys with you. Let her know that you never leave her, you never forsake her. Your word says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Thank you for my sister Talia, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for putting it on our heart.
Yes.
Just like we surround her now, Talia, we got you covered.
Yes.
In prayer, in action, in love.
Yes, God.
We're not going to surround you with our hands on your back and then we're going to turn around and stab you. We're not going to do that.
Amen.
We promise and commit to be there for you, to cover you. As God has you on your journey to make disciples and build the kingdom of God, we promise to help you find your method and how you do that.
Yes.
To love you as a church family, support you as a church family,
yes,
to challenge you as a church family,
yes,
to believe in you as a church family,
yes,
and to walk with you as a church family.
Yes.
God, we thank you for this day. From the worship to the word, we felt your presence. We feel your presence. Thank you for all that you're doing here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. Holy Spirit, continue to lead and guide us in love. Let everything we do be with the right motives.
Yes.
No hidden agendas,
mm-hmm,
no ulterior motives.
Mm-hmm.
God, but to glorify you in all that we do. We thank you, Lord. We bless you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Love you. Family members, we're upstairs. We have a members meeting. We have food. We have everything for you. So let's head up as we clear out the sanctuary. We're a few minutes behind. We thank God that he's come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor.
And you guys are upstairs, too.
Always.
So, because you guys are members, so.
Yeah. Just to know about that plan today, because I have you guys have some other one, but I wanted to bless you. Thank you for having us, and have a safe journey.
Thank you, brother.
And we'll see you next week.
Next week. Okay. All right. All right, Jack.
God bless you, Pastor. And we'll see you next week.
Amen. And you guys are members, so you are invited to the members' meeting upstairs and find out everything about the church. Everything is going, all our financials and everything are laid out. We ain't hiding nothing. Okay? So we just, that's just what we are. We're very transparent here. So just know, whenever we have members' meetings, you're there. We have a picnic this Saturday, too.
He's going to try to make it. He said,
okay.
I'll be working for sure on Saturday.
Okay. All right.
But hopefully not Sunday. So
okay.
Give me one day off.
Amen. Lord willing, God bless you. Okay. See you guys. All right, Mark. Thank you, brother. BWI, look at you, man.
All right, good.
Oh, good, brother. Good.
Have a safe trip.
Thank you. Thank you.
So when do you leave?
I leave tonight. My flight leaves at 10:15 tonight.
My little sister just moved back.